numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, Thursday morning, downtown Las Vegas. I am not Gil Alexander. I'm Jared Smith in for Gil the next 2 days. This is a numbers game powered by Zyn Nicotine. I didn't have any nicotine on my walk this morning, but Kelly Bidlin is here. Kelly, were you dabbling? I saw something unique this morning when I was walking across Fremont Street.
Dude, no way.
6:30.
You saw something weird on Fremont Street at 6 o'clock in the morning?
And I've done this show a few times now, and I have not yet seen this. It was a lady walking her baby in a stroller at 6:30 in the morning down Fremont Street.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh.
I've never seen that before. I've seen a lot of intriguing characters walking across the street.
You know,
usually they're setting up for their various shows or their street performing things or their security or, you know, people just kind of grifting around. But I've never seen a mom baby stroller just cruising down Fremont Street at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, that's a little terrifying. The one that I had to stop for last week was when I saw a older couple, I will say, kind of doing like the mall power walk on Fremont.
I guess it's a good place to get a workout.
Well, I was like,
it's
okay.
Hot outside.
I was like, this should make sense. Yeah. This should make sense. This is just not what you see on Fremont Street at 6:30.
Yeah, no, it was unique. But we'll get to more pressing matters in just a moment. We have a fun show planned. Kelly booked a great show. We're going to have Zachary Cohen on bottom of the hour, talk a little NBA. We had some big news come out of the NBA overnight, which we'll get to in just a moment. Stormy Bonatoni is going to come on in our 8 o'clock Pacific hour, talk some NHL, and she'll have some UFL as well, and some VSiN history. So, fun story. Been working at this network now for 2 years. Besides Stormy's co-host on the Lombardi line, Mike Lombardi, the only person I've yet to do an on-air segment with is Stormy and Mike Lombardi.
Ah, there we go.
So, you didn't know that before you booked
history.
The segment, but I was texting her yesterday. We're very excited. We're not going to do anything special. We're just going to do what we normally do, which is talk about sports. But just, you know, it was fun. I've never, 2 years, we're friends.
There you go.
Never had a chance to work with her.
UFL Conference Championship games this weekend.
That will change today. We're both on the Panthers. We'll tell you why coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. But the overnight stuff, I did get home relatively late last night. I was hanging out at New York. You know, there's no place like home, right? doing a little fun.
So long.
It, you know, it's funny because it actually is one of the last like theme hotels in Vegas now. Mirage is about to shut down. You got Luxor is kind of kicking still, but Circus.
I also appreciate. I don't know. I appreciate the cheesy.
Yeah.
The cheesy thing. You know what I mean?
Times Square hot dogs.
Yeah,
like, that doesn't exist in real New York, by the way.
I appreciate that. Like the Venetian with the skywalk. Like I love that.
Venetian
like I love
still
that stuff.
Themed. I guess technically Mandalay, but we don't consider those themes.
Nah, not really.
Like they're kind of just like tropical.
Yeah. Right.
I guess Venetian is themed.
I put
Venetian is themed, but now that Mirage is going away, it's one of the last jewels. But so I was out relatively late last night. I didn't see this news until I woke up early this morning. But we thought the Lakers were going to bring in J.J. Redick. We saw all the reports and I guess more the, you know, brotherly love between him and LeBron when they were kind of doing their little behind-the-scenes video stuff. And everyone just assumed, based on the early reports, that J.J. Redick was going to be the head coach of the Lakers. No one really gave it a second chance because I think we all thought, hey, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the head coach isn't a huge deal anyways. LeBron likes J.J. Okay, that's fun.
Then Shams took it a step further yesterday when the, you know, really reporting those talks were heating up.
Yeah,
so.
And I kind of put it to bed. Like, in my mind, I'm like, all right, that's kind of the way that story is going to end, and let's move on with our life. Well, we got a curveball dropped into the market today.
Yes,
I didn't
see
it. I don't think it's going to impact the market too much, but this is a big story. Dan Hurley, of course, back-to-back national champions with UConn, cashing in his chips, literally. He is going to sign, from what we're hearing, a lucrative multi-year deal with the Lakers to be the next head coach. And I think this is a big story for two reasons. First of all, what changed between the Redick news and all of a sudden? I mean, it was a very short turnaround from us basically thinking J.J. Redick was a done deal. And now it not being, the Lakers going in a completely different direction. I think that's one part of the story. The other part of the story we talked about before we came on, the continuing theme of college coaches kind of bailing, frankly, or swiftly moving away from the college game because of maybe some things that are happening with college basketball, college sports, that is changing the metrics of kind of how coaches coach, recruit, et cetera. Let's start with the first part of the story. What happened? Like, I mean, was it just a move by Hurley's agent to kind of get some more? I don't know, because that was a really quick shift from Reddick to Hurley over the last 24 hours.
I mean, it sounds like there have been talks going on from Woj's reporting this morning between the two sides. I think it really heated up here recently. I mean, Jared, I think just on the face of it, if I was to say, hey, you got a game tomorrow with the Lakers, who's a better coach, J.J. Redick or Hurley? I think that's an easy
answer, right? One of them seems to be really good at TV.
Yeah, I bet
ESPN's happy now. They get to keep their analysts, right?
Yes, probably. I mean, this is far from done, right? The report is the talks are, you know, they're Lakers preparing a massive long-term offer to bring in UConn's Dan Hurley. So far from done, but I think he is. He is the guy that I'm guessing J.J. Redick was always a part of the conversation, but probably knew exactly where he stood better than the rest of us of who else they were talking to. So I like Dan Hurley. I think it's really interesting. I think the college part's interesting. We can get to that in a sec. From an NBA perspective, what this really made – I mean, I think it's – and you know, you're a college guy way more than me – but, okay, it's very hard to miss what Dan Hurley's impact has been on UConn's program and the type of
coach he is. He's selling as high as he could possibly sell.
Exactly. And I think when you're bringing him into the Lakers, you are going to be building that franchise more around him when it's been a lot about what LeBron is. And what this reminds me of a lot, Jared, it's LeBron going to Miami and going into a system that was not all about him and a culture that's not all about him. Now, what's different this time around is, well, we don't know how much longer LeBron's going to be around, right? Where my initial reaction would be, this sounds great off the top. What's it going to be like after year three with LeBron and Dan Hurley? But I don't know that there's going to be a year three.
If I would bet the under on 2.5 years with LeBron in the Lakers. I think my initial gut reaction is this is the next step post. This is the first building block post LeBron.
Agreed.
And maybe next year he won't be around. Who knows? I mean, have we not seen this with LeBron before? How it's going to impact the Lakers, they're obviously going to a more gritty culture.
Yeah.
They want culture. When you bring in a guy like Dan Hurley, and the one thing I love about Dan, and I actually, it's funny, every now and again, I'll go through my drafts on Twitter and I'll look through things that I wrote up and didn't send out. One of the things recently, and this was like a week ago, I was doing this, I was scrolling, I save, every time I use my Twitter drafts as like my notepad. Like if I have
that
a thought.
That sounds dangerous.
Yes. And I'm going to do a game one day where if I get enough likes, I'll drop like New Year's Eve, like before the ball drops, I'll drop all my drafts. But one of the drafts I had saved recently, and this is just completely random that it happened to be a Dan Hurley thing, was Dan Hurley talking about like accountability and like how he builds a program. And I remember it was like if you want accountability, Dan Hurley's your guy. Like, and this is, I kind of think that they're, and frankly, I think it's kind of the way the NBA needs to go. The NBA needs more coaches that are strong voices that can control the narrative. What are we seeing in the league? The players have so much power, it's beyond belief. Now, just because you're hiring a guy like Dan Hurley doesn't mean he's going to immediately take over power. But I think what this shows is a mindset shift with the Lakers. They've had a lot of figureheads in their head coaching job over the last decade, you know, few years that LeBron's been in town. It's been a lot of guys that are yes men to LeBron. This is not that. This is the opposite. Now, again, we don't know if this is 100% confirmed yet, but it feels like this is the right move for the Lakers. It does feel like this is a move that is kind of signifying the end of one era and the start of a new era. The start of an era where the Lakers are trying to become a little more like those Phil Jackson teams, where they had gritty heart determination. Now, they also had Shaq and Kobe, but it was a culture that I don't think the Lakers, frankly, any NBA team has outside of maybe the Knicks. Like, I'm trying to think, and you cover the NBA more.
Miami, sure.
There's not a lot of teams right now that kind of have that culture, but maybe the Lakers are trying to build something. Speaking of culture, I think this actually, you know, the other part of the college sports news from yesterday that goes hand in hand with what we're seeing was the college football playoff announcement. And the reason why I tie this in is because college sports right now, college sports is like semi-pro. Like, I think when you look at, so they dropped the college football playoff schedule yesterday. My initial reaction was, you get 8 college football playoff games in a nine or 10 day window between December 20th and New Year's Eve. So it's basically an 11 day window. But you get 8 college football playoff games in a basically Christmas week. I mean, any argument against this thing expanding has to die after seeing the schedule. Like, any response, Kelly, I have to the expansion's going to ruin it. Did you see the schedule? It's going to ruin it? You're crazy.
I mean, I think for more casual guys like me with college football, I love this.
Oh,
like, this is great.
Incredible.
Like, this is an incredible schedule. I understand, though. I do. I still go back to the. So why am I supposed to care about the regular season, though? Like that. Like, that's going to be a continued problem.
Yeah, I think what it does is it takes away the extreme urgency where if you lose one game, you're out. I think now teams can drop a game and still be okay, but there's more than one game. Like, there's 11 more games after that. So if a team loses a game in the first week or two, well, then the whole rest of the season. Again, we'll get into it a little bit more on the other side. College sports is changing. The news we heard yesterday, blowing up the landscape. More of a numbers game after this.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Act now, save big for a limited time. Get an annual subscription, VSiN Pro. It's an unbeatable price, normally $240 a year. You can now subscribe for just $1.99, not $1.99, $199. That'd be a really good deal. Bill 80 would throw me out if I gave out that deal. We'll throw in an extra month for free as well. 13 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. With VSiN Pro, instant access to the daily best bets, real-time betting splits, the betting systems that we love, premium analysis. I'm actually on the betting splits page right now trying to figure out who's going to win this NBA game later. 24/7 video content as well. Don't miss the offer. VSiN.com/subscribe. Right now, use promo code ANG. Claim your discount and bonus month. Special deal. It's not going to last long. VSiN.com/subscribe. Don't forget the promo code ANG. A numbers game. You get it, right? VSiN, the sports betting network. This is ANG. I am not Gil Alexander. He is off for the – I don't know, is he back next week?
He's back. He's back on Monday. Yep.
Gil is back on Monday. I am in today and tomorrow. Kelly Bidlin here as well. We're at the D in downtown Vegas. Got a great show coming up in just a few minutes. On the other side of the next break, we'll have Zachary Cohen. We are talking about the NBA Finals. They do the NBA finally starts back up again tonight. It feels like just a crazy long break because we got kind of a taste of it, and I always laugh at this time of year. I call it the doldrums, right? And that's just like a fancy word for just not a whole lot going on. We are there right now. I know we have exciting NBA and NHL games still to come, but this week was the appetizer of the doldrums. There was no NHL, no NBA the whole week. It's Thursday. We're finally getting our first game. You're stuck with baseball. WNBA, which I enjoy handicapping, it's not as sexy of a watch. It's a tough watch sometimes, but it is a fun league to bet because I do think there's value there, and anytime there's value, it's to me, that's dollar sign fun. But we got the first taste of, well, if you don't like watching baseball, you ain't going to be very happy. But more time on our hands to get errands done, right? Go to, like, Bed Bath & Beyond, get your stuff done.
For me, it's been that, Jared. I mean, we're talking, you watch an NBA games almost single night since October. And what was it, last Wednesday where we had the first like night where there wasn't a game, right?
The first night off because of the staggered schedule.
And I remember that. I feel like it's been like this every day where I'm like, oh, okay, great. Like, you're not rushing to get things done before games tip. Like, I can take longer, go out to dinner. But then you sit down on the couch at the end of the night, and you're like, all right, so wait, what am I supposed to watch
now? I went out, and I'm not a going out guy on school night, especially when I have an early show. I actually went out. I actually left my apartment last night. because I got bored. Monday and Tuesday, I was sitting around staring at the wall. You know, I do these first inning bets in baseball, which are awesome. They're so much fun, but it's not a very big time commitment. It's like 15 minutes and it's over. So more time on your hands, which means idle hands sometimes is the tool of the devil. So be sure you're not betting on stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, the overnight ball. French Open yeah. lines. I remember when I used to live in New York and the Australian Open would be on at 2 in the morning in, like, January. And, yeah, I've had some rough live betting, just firing off on. So, but that's what happens when you have idle hands, is you bet on stupid stuff. But we will get a full NBA Finals preview coming up with Zachary Cohen in our next segment. I guess we can just start and kind of touch on what we expect in the series. I mean, I feel like it's the Super Bowl. I have had my opinions on this series widely documented over the last few days on various different shows. I'll just rehash them now.
Yeah, Boston, but we haven't gotten a chance.
We haven't
to talk
got. That's
Jared.
Good. That's
yeah.
fair.
It's I have true. No idea where your head's at on this.
Boston's really good. How's that?
You're the first person.
Sound
to say it, Jared.
Analysis.
You're the first person.
I mean, I took a bath in the Pacers series because I thought at one point Boston was going to drop a game.
Yeah,
they didn't. But I don't think I was wrong with the analysis. Whereas Boston should have dropped at least a game, they didn't. And now I don't want to say false bravado, because I think that's kind of how I've characterized the Celtics all year. They're more talented than everyone else. They know it. Mm-hmm. It's like the hot girl that walks into the bar. They know they're going to get all the guys that are going to ask them to buy them drinks.
Yep.
The question is, are they going to be able to strike up a conversation and actually talk to someone, or is it just going to be push them aside? And what I mean by that, are the Mavericks a game suitor here? I think they're the most game of all the suitors that have tried to wrangle in the Celtics during this playoff run. But there's warts there, especially when you get that depth issue that I think with Boston getting Porzingis back adds a layer that we haven't seen in the playoffs yet.
I think that's, I mean, that's part, that's something we haven't really discussed a ton on this show.
Because we don't know how much he's going to play or what the impact is. We haven't seen it.
Well, Porzingis, I mean, I think he is the biggest factor in
yes,
this series.
Agreed.
Like, the biggest. And that's not trying to minimize anything on either side of the ball, but if we're only seeing him for 20 minutes a game, that is far different than a fully healthy Kristaps Porzingis and what he brings both offensively and defensively to this team. The depth stuff is interesting, Jared, because I don't actually know how, like, getting Porzingis back is huge twofold because of that, right? Like, I don't know that there's many guys off of Boston's bench that they're really willing to trust in this series, not named Peyton Pritchard and Al Horford. That's about as deep as they're going to want to go. And Dallas, not much further either. We haven't even really seen Tim Hardaway be able to get on the court much. But I do think if we talk about that from that side, I do think Dallas has a little bit more depth. They've shown the willingness to play a few more of these guys.
PJ Watt. And you know what? I think getting Lively a week off helps, right? He was, I mean, he got abused.
Well, and
Luka,
right? I mean, Luka in the knee.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That goes without saying. But I think Lively is a guy that, the one thing I think Boston lacks, and Indiana could not take advantage of this, they don't have a bruiser. They don't have an enforcer. And that's where I think, for example, and I'm sorry, all the New York haters, I'm going here, but if it was Knicks Celtics, and not Pacers. Like, if the Knicks didn't just completely fall apart those last two games, get banged up, find a way to make it through that series, and face the Celtics relatively healthy, they have enforcers. You know, they have guys like Josh Hart and OG Anunoby who are willing to get dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see that with the Pacers down the stretch. It looked like they just kind of wilted under the pressure. They didn't have those guys that when the going got tough, the tough gets going, right? Whereas I think Dallas has a little bit more of that. The size with Lively, I know he's a rookie, but they have a little bit more girth and a little bit more tenacity, I would use the word to them. Kyrie's a little more experienced. The Pacers just didn't have the calm, cool, collected, tough-nosed guys down the stretch, the intangible guys, to get over the hump. Dallas, I don't think, is overflowing with that. Like, Dallas, I think, is still a talented team that has polish and needs to, you know, kind of spread their wings and fly, but they're a little grittier than I think the Pacers are.
Yeah, 100%. And what we've really seen that defense improve here through the end of the regular season and into the playoffs. It keeps getting better and better. Now, I do think this series is going to be a much, much bigger test for the Mavericks from that standpoint, because the Celtics, one of the most special things about the Boston Celtics, especially with Kristaps Porzingis, is you are five out, right? You've got five guys that can shoot outside. And that stretch that pulls away Lively and Gafford away from the rim, where they've been so good this whole playoffs and haven't really had to do that in the Western Conference playoffs at all. So that part of it's going to be really fascinating to me, Jeremy, because they've been able to really kind of bunch up that defense and protect the rim. And when you don't really have guys attacking it as often as Boston will not, they'll be sticking out on the perimeter so often. It's going to be interesting to me. I think that I am in the camp that you're going to see Gafford start these games. I wouldn't be shocked if he's not starting come game four, game five, regardless of him starting or not. I think Lively's going to get way more minutes where we've kind of seen them sort of even. I think it's going to be way more Lively this series because he has that athleticism to get out to the perimeter and cover guys like Porzingis that I think is going to be able to help big time. The one bet I did make for game one, it wouldn't go over all the series stuff here here as well, but I did bet the over yesterday. Okay. We ended up talking about that a little bit. I bet over 214.5. I think even over 215.5 is still an overlook for me. I think we've seen these teams come out early in these series, and the old mantra, look overs early, look unders later in the series.
Do you think the long layoff is going to – like, I was thinking a first quarter under, but then live over. That was like my –
that could work, but we've seen
the other
Boston
way.
In these game ones like come out like crazy in the first quarter. Yeah, so I'm kind of interested to see. I'm honestly interested to see how that shapes,
because both teams kind of had the same layoff. Like I think it was like 1 or 2 days. Like, and once you get past like 2 days off, the difference between 3 and 4 is just, it's not a big difference. I think both teams have had at least 4 days off, and I think Boston's had 6.
Yep.
So we'll see who comes out. The number hasn't moved. 6, 6.5. We saw Circa open 6, went to 6.5. We saw some buyback. The DraftKings splits on VSiN.com right now are pretty heavy public dog. Like Dallas right now getting 70% of the bets, 64% of the handle on the spread. The money line is a little bit more even, but Dallas is still getting, considering Boston has been dominant this entire postseason, what they've dropped 2 games, I think it's fair to say public dog is pretty alarming tonight. It makes me think that the Celtics might be the right side in game one. And also, the Celtics were, what, laying 7 to Denver early this year at home?
I think 7.5.
Yeah,
I think
laying 6 to Dallas is probably a fair
bet. I think that is the single most thing that is troubling.
Yeah.
That's tough for big NBA bettors in the books to figure out is how to properly adjust the Dallas Mavericks power rating through the playoffs.
Well, we'll ask Zachary Cohen, see if he has any thoughts on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. Few things are as rewarding as winning the big game, but rewards from America's number one nicotine pouch come close. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free, and can be enjoyed from anywhere, anytime. It's available in a deep roster of varieties and gives you the choice of two strengths. Whether you're managing your fantasy lineup on the go, watching the game from the stands, or cheering your favorite team from the couch, you can get the nicotine satisfaction you want with Zyn. Plus, with Zyn Rewards, every can of Zyn earns you points towards premium items like tailgating gear, top-of-the-line tech, kitchen accessories, and even gift cards. In fact, it's the only nicotine pouch brand to offer an expansive reward program, with new items added seasonally. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn, Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Thursday morning, downtown Las Vegas, Jared Smith in for Gil Alexander on a numbers game. Kelly Bidlin here as well. We are live at the D, and joining us now, does fantastic work, VSiN's senior editor, and we've got a lot to get to today. His name is Zachary Cohen. Follow him on social media, on X, at Betting on X. Very keen of you, Zach, to change your handle to Betting on X. Did you preempt that before Elon made the switch there?
No, I did it like the day of or the day after. I forget. I didn't know that they were changing it to X. So, yeah, I was just like, I didn't like my original handle. I had an underscore in there that was always confusing. So, yeah, I was just like, let's change this right now. Let's capitalize.
That's
so
a smart move.
I think I was with Zach. I think we were doing a Hardwood Handicappers podcast. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was day of, Zach. You were all over
smart.
It. The real question I have, though, now is, do you regret it at all? Because, like, I don't know about you guys, but I don't call it X. I barely know anybody who calls it X.
Zach, what do you
think? I don't regret it. It just makes it sound like I'm betting on something either way. Like X could be like a math problem. So I was fine with that. I don't regret it at all.
Yeah, the math nerds aren't going to like it, but that's okay. They rarely like anything.
Plus, X going to give it to you, right?
X. I was thinking exactly that. All right. I was pulling up your article right now. You can go to VSiN.com. You can check out Zach's prop and series bets for game one of the NBA Finals. Right, we're talking about this during the commercial break. Finals for the NBA, final for the Stanley Cup. I know the hockey people get really upset when you call it the finals, but it is the finals in the NBA. And I'll be honest, I was a little bit surprised because you not only like Dallas tonight, but you also think they can pull off the upset.
Yeah, I like Dallas on the spread tonight. I like Dallas to win the series. I mean, I don't really think that like it's likely Dallas wins the series, but I've explained it, you know, on a few shows right now. But I do think that the -225 odds on Boston is like an implied probability of something like 70%. And I just don't think that you can go with that when there's a team that has a better player than your best player and a team that plays really good defense. So I just think that these games are going to be close down the stretch. And I just kind of trust Luka Doncic and I kind of trust Kyrie Irving more than I trust Jason Tatum towards the end of games. So that's really where I'm at with it. I think that we're going to see a really close series. It wouldn't shock me if the Celtics win, but I think Dallas is worth a swing. And at the same time, tonight, I think that 6.5 points is a little too many just because I do think that the defensive nature of this series is going to make it pretty hard for either one of these teams to really run away with games. I don't think we're going to see many blowouts in this series. And I just think that we're going to see spreads closer to 5, 5.5 moving forward.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I thought the market was trying to tell you something when we talked about this right before we went to break earlier this year. And I know a lot's changed. The power ratings have changed. It's not like Boston's gotten any worse, though. I mean, they just sweat. They've lost two games in the whole playoffs. They've got like a 7-game winning streak heading into the finals, one of the longer in recent memory. But Boston at home was laying 7.5 to Denver, the Nuggets, who I think were the number one power-rated team for pretty much the entire year. And now we're seeing 6.5 game one of the finals. Like, to me, there's two ways to look at it. You can say, oh, well, you're getting value on Boston because, you know, Denver, we think power-rating-wise, is a little bit behind Dallas. But then you also say, well, maybe Dallas has improved that much over the last couple of months that they've made this run, that we're not giving them enough credit. And it sounds like that's kind of the camp you're in.
Yeah, I think so. I think that Dallas has proven that they are very much a tier one team in the Western Conference. I mean, they're representing the West. They're one of the only teams that would have had to have gone through the gauntlet that they did, beating Oklahoma City, beating Minnesota. They didn't have a soft schedule to this point, like you could say about the Celtics. They've beaten two very elite teams in the Western Conference. And at the same time, it's like, you know, all the power ratings, all the advanced stats that I look at do say, you know, they tell a story about a Boston Celtics team that is almost historically good. But at the same time, it's like I have to trust my eyes at some point. I just watched them really struggle with an Indiana Pacers team that is not as good as this Dallas Mavericks team. Two games they played without Tyrese Haliburton in Indiana. You know, a better team, a team with their best player on the floor, a floor general like a Luka Doncic, like a Kyrie Irving, isn't blowing those two games or even three of the four games that we saw in that series. So I just think that I'm just not really buying Boston at this point because there's execution issues. I know that they're a great team on both ends of the floor. I know that they're really deep. I love their backcourt. I love that Derek White and Jrue Holiday are two guys that absolutely get after it on both ends. But at the same time, there's just something missing in terms of, like, execution in key moments. It was nice that they came back to win those games in that series, but I don't know if I see it happening. If they play with their food at all against Dallas, I think they're going to be in trouble.
Zachary Cohen, VSiN senior editor, joining us now. Follow him on X at Betting on X. He's got an article up for game one of the NBA Finals that are tonight between the Boston Celtics and the Dallas Mavericks. So you like Dallas. You think they're a little undervalued in the series. The prop market, obviously, at this time of year, I think is the place to find the most value. And I love when you bet on props that are so low because you know me, I'm the first inning guy. One swing of the bat, I want to win. In this prop with Maxi Kleber, one shot and you could be good.
Yeah, this is a really weird one. Like, you're banking on an adjustment that probably needs to be made in the series at some point, being made early enough in game one, which, hey, maybe it isn't. But I do think that with Kristaps Porzingis and Al Horford out there, the Celtics are always going to have a floor spacing big on the floor, and that's going to present problems for a guy like Daniel Gafford, who's been playing big minutes for Dallas, but has a little bit, he's a little slow in the foot, is what I wrote in the column. But Derek Lively does not have that issue, and Maxi Kleber definitely does not have the issue. I think that Kleber is actually the best perimeter defensive big that Dallas has. Also, their best floor spacing big themselves. So if they want to go five out, try to combat, the math battle at the three-point line that the Celtics are playing, there's going to need to be minutes for Kleber, maybe 15 to 20. And like you said, he hits one and this play wins. It's over 2.5 points is what it is.
I think so. Typically, when you go, and I had a hockey analyst say this to me that made a lot of sense. When you go from series to series, and when you go from home court to, road, right, or home ice to road in between games two and three, there's a shift. And a lot of times the matchups, the rotations, whatever, you're looking at drastically change. And that's why the prop market to me is always intriguing. We haven't heard about Maxi Kleber much over the last few couple weeks. He's been hurt. Even when he came back, he wasn't as effective. When he was healthy, to your point, Zach, this is a guy that is incredibly versatile, incredibly dangerous, and the way that Boston plays five out, especially with Porzingis back on the floor, it makes a ton of sense, especially getting a week off to heal that shoulder. I think you could see his point total double between now and later on in the series. So I think you made a ton of sense there. All right, Mavericks and Kleber on the NBA side. We have tennis happening right now, and you are a champion not only of the tennis world, but also picking French Open selection. So anything, I know that the time zones can be a little bit weird with when these matches start, but is there anything in the tennis world of note today at Roland Garros?
I have a small play on Jasmine Paolini to beat Mira Andreeva. That was a really exciting day of women's tennis yesterday. You saw both players come away with huge upsets. Andreeva beat Arina Sabalenka. Paolini beat Alina Rybakina. Two monumental upsets. Like, they both were, I believe, minus 400 favorites or right around there. So it's a really exciting match today. I think a lot of people are going to be on Andreeva, who is kind of the story of the tournament at this point, a 17-year-old into her first semifinal. She's a player that a lot of people think will win majors someday, but at the same time, I think this is a really tough matchup for her because both of these players are like baseline grinders. They don't have great serves. Both of them just want to play long rallies and outlast the opponent. But I think that Paolini is a little bit stronger, has the ability to go bigger from her forehand side and end points. I'm not sure that Andreeva actually has that. I also think, I'm a big believer in like an emotional letdown spot. That win over Sabalenka for Andreeva has to feel like the biggest win of her career. She got absolutely washed by Sabalenka when they played in Madrid about 3 weeks ago. Actually, maybe a month now ago. But yeah, just destroyed by Sabalenka the last time they played. Overcomes that challenge here. I wonder if she's able to get up the same way that she was yesterday.
Yeah, I wish that I had some analysis to add over the top of it, but I'm just trying to say the tennis players' names correctly. That's really where I started then, right there. Zachary Cohen, always great to catch up with you, my friend. Good luck with the tennis and the NBA Finals wagers, which will begin tonight.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Great stuff as always, Zachary Cohen. Of course, you can find his work all over the VSiN.com homepage. He's our senior editor, and you can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. Maybe I'm scarred from what just happened to me in the Pacers series, but I just can't fade this Boston team right now. And I'm sure that is the perfect elixir for them to drop this game tonight and, all the good luck that they've had end of games to kind of come back and bite them tonight. But I don't know. I just can't get there.
It's a fascinating series. I have futures tickets on the Mavericks, so I hope they come out Jared. But we are talking about a historically great regular season team. And when we talk about having to change a Dallas power rating, you don't really have to change anything from the Boston side from the regular season.
It's true. We'll get to some of Kelly's futures plays in the series wagers on the other side of Numbers Game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, sound the trumpet. Horse racing time. Saddle up. I've actually never done this read before. This is exciting. New read. DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who down. All right, now this looks a lot familiar. DK Horse app, you can get 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when you use the promo code VSINHORSE. I love that promo code. It's all one word. Just deposit $25 or more. Complete the playthrough requirement. The playthrough requirement is important, people. I've been burned on that before. Wager on your favorite horses. Watch the races live right in the app. Download the DK Horse app now. We do have the Belmont Stakes, not at Belmont this week. I didn't know that until I was reading up on the race this week, that it's at Saratoga.
Yes.
This year.
Belmont at Saratoga.
The Belmont at Saratoga. The artist formerly known as the Belmont Stakes. I guess the Saratoga Stakes has a nice ring to it to get the alliteration.
Yeah, it really does. I just call it that. I've kind of been wondering that, but I guess you got the history of the Belmont that you have to carry over. So
I'll be honest. So when I used to live in New York, I worked on Long Island for a number of years, and I was there for I covered the Triple Crown, American Pharoah. I was there. I literally video phoned him crossing the finish line, like, very close to where it was. And then I remember the next year was not a Triple Crown race. And it was like, people were still there, but it was the exact opposite feeling. But my point being, that race on Long Island is like, it's like a God weekend.
Oh, yeah.
For them to lose that weekend is a huge deal.
Yeah.
For the area of Belmont.
Only this year.
Yeah. Yes.
Where they got renovations going on or something?
I thought it was 2 years, but maybe it's this year. I thought it was 1 year for sure, and let's be honest, I've seen how slow construction could be in New York City.
Multi-year project, you're right.
I think this is a multi-year thing, and the people around Belmont cannot be happy. I guess they're happy that there's no Triple Crown. I guess maybe they're rolling the dice and praying that they don't get a Triple Crown hopeful over these next let's be honest, could be 5 years. I wouldn't be shocked the way New York handles their construction. But long story short, we do have a race this weekend.
Chris Felica on tomorrow with us.
Chris Felica will be here tomorrow.
On the call.
Crossing off another name off my never hung out with them on air bucket list.
There you
Chris
go.
Felica. That's pretty cool. I did not know that.
That's on Fox this weekend, so he will be all over the coverage as well.
That's awesome. Very excited to get the Bear on tomorrow. That is breaking news to me. But also, I'm sure Mike Somich will be hot and heavy over the airwaves doing his thing. My guess is we'll have him on Saturday. I'll be back Saturday doing my usual slot over at Circa. Usually the race kind of starts right around the time we go on air. Sometimes it's later. We'll figure it out. And I'm sure, again, go to VSiN.com. You'll get all the info. But we want to at least go through some of our bets from the NBA and the Major League Baseball world tonight before we get into our second hour. I'll give you the floor here, sir, because the series, you've had time. You know, you've had time to think about this, mull it over, try to find some value, and you did make some wagers on the series bets for the Mavericks Celtics.
Yeah, I have. I mean, look, I've got futures tickets I'm rolling into this with, so it obviously makes things a little bit different for me.
It always does.
Yeah.
How did you approach it, that? You have Mavericks, so did you consider just coming back on Boston because you had so much exposure?
So we could hit that first, right? Mavericks, I had 19-1, and then I had them in an exacta over Boston at 40-1. So I did, yes, I played the Boston series price a bit, but I hit that as soon as it opened. Jared didn't know where it was going to move. I came back though with some Dallas series bets. I think the Mavericks in six, and these are all price dependent, right? This is all. It's still, even if you're doing it today, shop around, right? You're going to see wildly different numbers from book to book. So Mavericks in six, I thought was really good value. I do think this is a series that goes long. I think if you're considering that 5.5 games, over is definitely where I'd be leaning, regardless of what side you like. I do think we're seeing a game six, at least in this series. I think in all likelihood, if Mavericks win this series, it is in game six back at home. So at close to 6-1 when that number was up, that was a bet for me. And then same thing, I think if you're considering Dallas in this series, my advice would be go bet Luka Doncic finals MVP and then take it one game at a time. That's where Zach's on them tonight, where it sounds like me and him disagree a little bit on total tonight. The one thing you're getting tonight is you're getting this game one, Jared, priced as like Kristaps Porzingis is there and good to go.
Sure.
So if he is not 100%, for whatever reason, I'm not saying I know anything that he isn't, but if he's not close to 100%, then this number's at least a bit off. So
100%, yeah, you're right.
I think game one, if you're looking at it, I'm not doing it. I did play the over game one. I'll probably be looking live Dallas. I think if Boston gets off to a hot start like we've seen them do before, okay, if you push this spread out to 8.5, 9, something like that, I might be jumping in, but would only be attacking live probably from sides in this series. A couple series props I do really like. Jason Tatum to lead the series in rebounds. I got that at minus 105 on opener. I know it was always minus 150 at DraftKings. I think most places are around that number now. That's far more appropriate to me. I do think he is the most likely guy to lead the series in rebounding. I honestly think that Luka Doncic is the only guy he's really going to be contending with. And why is that? Well, it's a style of play from Boston, right? You bring those five guys out on the perimeter. Porzingis likely going to be limited at least a little bit in minutes. He's not going to rack up big rebound numbers. And what do the bigs do on the Dallas side? Well, they split time. And you're talking about three of them likely splitting time throughout this series. So I don't really think any of those guys are in play. I think this is really a Tatum versus Doncic prop. So I'll take lay minus 105 with that. Another one, shop around. I think he's more like 5-1 most places. I took a flyer on Tatum to lead the series in three-pointers at 9-1. I don't know about you, Jared. You know how many Boston games it feels like I've watched over the past...
He takes 100 threes.
5 years in big moments where Tatum just settles and launches three after three. So he hasn't been that great. He hasn't been that efficient from the three-point line this playoffs. But if I know if I'm getting 10-11, I'm getting the volume up with him, 10-11 three-point attempts a game from him, I'll take a flyer at 9-1 on that. And then the one that I added yesterday, JVT came on and talked about this one. I think it's a great bet. It might actually be my favorite one now at this point, is Jaylen Brown to have more rebounds over the course of the series than Daniel Gafford, just because I think Daniel Gafford's minutes are going to go down through the course of the series. So it's not really a bet on Jaylen Brown. It's more of a fade of Daniel Gafford's minutes on the floor, how much he's going to be out there.
I think, and again, the card is robust, and I can always count on you to give me lots of things to chew on here, because I think the two things that always stand out to me now that we're kind of really in an evolved marketplace with these, you know, series bets is just how many options you have.
Oh, it's incredible.
And how many ways you can attack a series. You've had a whole week to think about this, and there's no right or wrong answer. Just because you don't like, you know, those, I'll call them derivative prop markets that are very specific, very micro, it doesn't make you a good or a bad gambler. I just think there's a lot of different ways to skin the cat. I think betting risking the most on the index markets is not the right bankroll management style. But to bet a guy that's on the floor 40 minutes a game like Tatum to lead the series in 3 points, like, you're betting on variance. Like, you're hoping that Luka's going to take a lot, but he doesn't make as many. Where, again, to me, those markets are always intriguing ways to kind of come at the series from different angles and to kind of surround yourself and almost like a warm blanket at the end of the night, wrap yourself around all the Jaylen Brown thing. That one I wasn't even thinking of, because in your mind, you don't think Jaylen Brown is a rebounder, but you made a really good point about Gafford. We're expecting the books to decrease his props as the series goes on, which now gives us value pre-flop on a bet that you wouldn't think has value.
Yeah, and it is. I think Zach's play tonight is really interesting too. Maxi Kleber over 2.5.
Oh, I'm definitely betting that.
I like it. I have the series bet on Jaylen Brown over Gafford.
Yeah.
This is what I think's going to happen.
Oh,
right?
Of course. New information, new opinion that could change tomorrow.
I am definitely the guy that approaches these series with, you know what? I've bet some of these the way I think the most likely scenario is of how this is going to play out. But when it comes to props like this stuff, give me a game or two to watch this first, and then I'll probably get more heavily involved. The Maxi Kleber question is a big time question. How much are they going to be forced to use him on defense, which there's a very good chance they are. But, man, I don't know. He's coming off that injury. The shooting looked really ugly.
It did. He's had a whole week, though.
Yeah, he had a whole week. That's the thing I'm talking about.
There's a shroud of mystery surrounding the injured players.
Mm-hmm.
We'll know more tonight how they look, and then we'll get a better vibe. But then the number's going to adjust.
Right. I also don't know that. It's also my way of saying it. I wouldn't go out tonight. Like, I'm not going. I've brought up this Daniel Gafford feeling from the beginning. As soon as the series price got announced, this is the way I've felt about Gafford. I'm not going into tonight hammering unders on Gafford, though, because how many times have we seen the team wants to stick with what's been working well
for at least one game,
and then they adjust, right?
So if they get blown out tonight, they adjust. I think the way we handle the series tonight from Boston's perspective, old reliable. Tatum rebounds has been a moneymaker the entire postseason. He's over in 11 out of 14 games. the dude just is always around the basketball if he plays major minutes, and we expect him to play major minutes tonight. And I really like the angle of trying to figure out guys that are going to get more or less minutes based off of matchups. We're guessing, but if you guess right, you're probably going to win your bet. All right, hour number one in the books. We will continue a lot more NBA, and I'll get to some baseball. Your free nerfy talk on the other side, a numbers game.